truth this day. I know, it's fancy. Ruth chapter 1, verse 19. It reads as follows. Then they both went until they came to Bethlehem. Now it happened when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the women said, "Is this Naomi?" She said to them, "Do not call me Naomi. You call me Mara. For the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but Yahweh has caused me to return empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Yahweh has answered against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity against me." So Naomi returned, and with her Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the fields of Moab, now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest. The word of the Lord. The story goes as follows. There's a Jewish man, and he's got a wife. They got two kids. And famine hits the land, recession. There's no work. There's no food. This Jewish man named Elimelech, he decides, what do I do to survive? He decides, I'm going to leave the land of my fathers. I'm going to leave the land the Lord gave me. I'm going to leave, like, the tabernacle. God's presence is down the street. I'm leaving God's presence. I'm leaving God's people. And I'm going where the money is. He takes his wife and kids, and they go to the land of Moab. And they settle there. They find some success there. It goes okay at first. The sons find wives in the land of Moab. And then the father dies. This is a tragic, awful thing. See, in the ancient Near East, only men could own land. Only men could inherit the inheritance. So, when Elimelech dies, Naomi, his wife, she is cut off from their family's land and wealth and political strength. She is uncovered, if you will. But thank the Lord, she still has two sons. And her two sons allow her family name to keep going forward. She's like, whoo, that was close. But then 10 years pass. The kids and their Moabite wives have no children. And then both sons die. And you're left with three widows. A Jewish widow and her two Moabitess widowed daughters-in-law. And they are uncovered in the world. They have been basically relegated to a position of beggar status. They've lost everything. Naomi hears it back home, God's on the move. There's food in the land. She begins walking back to the promised land. On the journey back home, she tells her daughters-in-laws, you go back to your father's house, you find a new family, get a new husband. My life's going to be terrible. I don't want you to suffer with me forever. You go find something better. You're too young for you to be over this early. One daughter-in-law leaves. But Ruth shows loving kindness to mother-in-law. And Ruth says to mother-in-law, where you go, I will go. Your people be my people. Your God will be my God. May God curse me if anything but death pull me away from you. She says, basically, ride or die, I'm with you. To the end, I'm with you, Naomi. You're my mom now. I'm not abandoning you. And these two women go back to her hometown. That's where the story picks up. They arrive back in Bethlehem. And it says, as they come to Bethlehem, the city was stirred because of them. I don't know if you've ever lived in a small town before, but news travels fast. Even before Facebook, that happened. I don't know if you've ever lived in a town that was smaller. If someone returned home after 20 years, news would travel. Phone would ring. So-and-so's home? I'll be right there. The town is stirred up. Everyone comes out because Naomi's back. 20 years she's been gone, and she's home. And when they arrive, the women of the town say, "Is this Naomi?" The question is not meant to be merely inquisitive. What has happened is the woman who has returned is very different than the woman who left. They're like, could this be the same young girl? Full of hope, full of joy, full of life. Can this possibly be? That girl, look, she was smiling. She was full of joy. This girl who just came back to us has been beaten down by life. Can this be her? And she gives an answer. Do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Now, their names have meaning. The word Naomi in Hebrew, it means pleasant, sweet. And apparently she lived up to her name. She was a pleasant young lady, a sweet young lady. She goes, don't call me pleasant anymore. Don't call me sweet no more. You call me by my new name. I want you to call me Mara. And the word Mara is the Hebrew word for bitter. Don't call me sweet anymore. You call me bitter. This young lady, well, she's not very young anymore, but this lady has come home and she has been changed. Her hope is gone. Her joy is gone. And this can happen in life. We can meet someone years later and they're not the person we remember them being. I was at a wedding last night. And people I hadn't seen in 20 years were there. And they said, when you came out and started talking, we knew who you were immediately. We haven't seen you all this time, but your personality, your voice, your bombasticness are still the same. You're still you. But sometimes in this life, we go through things and it kicks that out of us. What can make a hopeful heart hopeless? What can make a joyful heart joyless? What could make a sweet heart become a bitter heart? And Naomi tells us. The first thing that makes her bitter is this. She says, the losses I've experienced has made me bitter. Loss can make us bitter. She says, I went out full, but Yahweh has caused me to return empty. She says, when I left 20 years ago, she's like, I had everything I ever wanted. I had a husband. I had children. I had all the things my little girl heart ever dreamed of. I left here and my heart was full of hope. But I buried all that hope in Moab. You call me Mara now because I have no hope left in me. This happens to people. People can go through such hard things, it kicks the hope out of them. I knew a lady early in my time as a pastor. She loved her children. She loved her God. And one of her children, the oldest boy, took his own life. I walked with them through that nightmare. And she never got back up. She had other kids who needed her to be their mama, but she just couldn't do it. She couldn't get past the loss of her oldest son. And so she's this empty husk of a person. The loss broke her, and she couldn't move beyond it. Now, it is very tempting to judge someone like this. It's very tempting to say, suck it up. Get past it. But we have to have compassion in our hearts. Life can be hard. Life can hit people. Listen, I remember, I shouldn't say this out loud, but I will. I used to be really harsh. I'm Mexican. We have this thing called machismo. You ever heard of this? It's like bravado. Like, it's like Mexican, we're like men. Mexican, we're men, no feelings, men. So it's this thing Mexicans have, machismo. It's weird, and it's really, really dangerous for us. So Mexicans as a culture historically have been we've made fun of, like, counseling and therapy. And so because I came from that culture, I had the same view of stuff. I used to always, like make jokes and fun of, like, anxiety attacks or anxiousness. And that is until I had one. And I didn't know what's happening. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're like, am I having a heart attack? What's happening? Like, you're sweaty, and you're like, you don't know what's going on. We realized I was being very, very not compassionate, that anxiety, mental health is a real reality people face every day. In the same way I was not compassionate, we must be careful not to be too condemning of Naomi or of people who have gone through things like she has gone through. People go through things in this life, and it leaves them decimated. It doesn't help to tell them you're being weak. It doesn't help to throw them away or to push them away. Life can be really hard. When we read about Naomi, we should have hearts full of compassion towards her. Not judgment, not condemnation, but understanding. Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. My life is so hard. I've lost hope. I've lost joy. I'm not the girl you used to know. That girl to live for. I am like I'm the walking dead. Loss can make us bitter. It can. But there's more. Our beliefs about God can make us bitter. When she says, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, listen for her reasoning. She says, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but Yahweh has caused me to return empty. Notice this. Every phrase, she's saying, God did this to me. God did this to me. So she goes, why do you call me Naomi? Yahweh has answered against me, and the Almighty has brought calamity against me. She says, you know why I'm bitter? Because God made me bitter. You know why I'm bitter? Because God crushed me. And I blame him for what my life has become. Sometimes you go through something that's awful. Sometimes when you go through something very terrible, who do we blame? Where do we point the finger? In this moment, Naomi points the finger at God. God did this to me. And the names she uses for God are very important. She calls God two names. She calls him the Almighty, which is El Shaddai. God Almighty. El Shaddai caused this. He says, Yahweh, the great I am. What Naomi has, she has an incomplete view of who God is. Her view of God is half-baked. What is half-baked? Half-baked means... there's a restaurant I like to go to in Chicago called Giordano's Pizza. It's a Chicago-style pizza. If you've never had it, it's the weirdest pizza on the planet. It's my favorite pizza on the planet. It's wonderful. It's like a pizza. It's like a pie. It's like thick. It's like 2 inches of cheese, 3 inches of cheese. It's... Then they put the toppings on the cheese and the sauce on top of everything. It's wild and weird. It takes an hour to bake this thing. And it is delightful. What I'll do sometimes, I'll be leaving Chicago to come back to Michigan. I'll go to Giordano's. I say, listen, you got any half-baked pies? They'll take a Giordano's pizza, put it in the oven for only like half an hour so it keeps its form and its strength. Take it out, they flash freeze the thing. And you bring it, drive it all the way back to Michigan It's half baked pizza. You put in the oven when you get home, and you have a Giordano's pizza pie in your Michigan kitchen. It's awesome. That's half baked. It's half cooked. It's almost ready, but it's not fully ready. Naomi, her view of God is half right. She believes God in heaven is all powerful. He's almighty. He's the great I am. He let this happen. He caused this to happen. She's half right. We believe that God Almighty is sovereign. He has authority and power. We believe the God of heaven and earth, His will goes forth into the world. We do believe that. We believe that whatever happens in this life, the world has not gone off the train tracks. Whoever wins the election in 44 days, we believe God is still on the throne, whoever wins. In case you don't know that. Don't freak out, Christians, the day after the election. But what she's missing a piece. What is she missing? Job is a man in the Bible who loses everything. He loses all his children, loses his wealth, loses his health. In the midst of all the loss Job experiences, he says this incredible prayer. He said, "The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." So he knew, he believed. God gave the blessing, God took the blessing. Whatever happens in this life, I love him and trust him. That's the part she's missing. I trust him. I believe he's good, and ultimately his will shall be done. She sees God only as this far-off, powerful king who does what he wants. She doesn't realize that this God is a God of covenant love, of hesed love, a God who, when he makes a promise to his people, he keeps his promise. She doesn't understand that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of her fathers, her God, not only is he all-powerful, but he loves her. He loves her. She's lost hope. Yeah, you're up there, you're strong, but I guess you don't like me. She's missing half the truth. What I want to end with is very simple by saying this to us today. There is hope for the most bitter heart. There is hope for the most bitter heart. Even in this story, there is hope. After Naomi says, "Don't call me Naomi, call me Mara. God doesn't like me." What's the last verse 22 say? The end of this first act says this. So Naomi returned, and with her, Ruth the Moabitess. She said, "I have come back empty." No, she hasn't. God has given her a loyal, loving daughter-in-law who's going to walk with her to the end. But sometimes our pain doesn't let us see what we actually have. Sometimes the pain blinds us to what God's doing in the actual moment. This is a free one too. Naomi blames God for everything. She doesn't say, "We left the promised land. We disobeyed his will. Our sons married women they were supposed to marry." She don't mention all the things they did against him. It's like, I remember one time I was a little kid. There was this dog. My mom always told us, "Don't bother that dog." And I'd go by that stinking yard all the time, and it had a little chain, so I knew where the end of the chain was. And I would terrorize that dog. I'd just yell at it. "Dude, I'm a little kid. What do I know?" I hit a stick into the face. And one day, that dog, the chain thing, just came out of the earth. And that dog, my mom said, she came outside. My head was in its mouth. It had me. It was a little trailer park here in Flint. And she hit the dog and I let me go. And I'm like, I don't know what happened. Mom just bit me for no reason. So we tell the story that way. I don't know what happened. Naomi's like, God did all this. But there's no ownership of any. Did I do anything that might have helped contribute to the loss of my life? During recovery last week on Tuesday, we had this lady come, and she told me the fourth step in 12 steps of AA is a ruthless inventory of your own moral failings. And she talked to me about how she used to blame everyone for every bad thing in her life, and she was finally learning how to take ownership of her part. What maturity it takes to say, this part's mine. I'm not a victim to the whole world. I did done messed up a few times. Naomi has Ruth, but she also, listen to this. She comes from the fields of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. It's going to come into, you see what this means, this chapter. These two women have come back to the promised land at the most ideal possible moment. They have come back. So a lot of the nonprofits in Flint, October is the beginning of their fiscal year, which means in September, if you need help with rent or consumers and you call the Cherries in Flint, they have no money. But in October, they all fill up with their grants. So if you need help in like 2 weeks, there's help in the city of Flint. Naomi and Ruth have come back to Jerusalem in October. All the grains gonna be full of food. They've come back at the best possible moment where they are not going to starve. God Almighty, El Shaddai, is on the move for these two women, even in the midst of their loss. What does that mean for us? Two things. First, if someone you love has been made bitter by the hard losses of life, do not give up on them. You keep on praying for them. You keep on inviting them to your home and your family. You keep on reaching out because God can get through to them. God has not given up on them. If you see someone you love and they have become Mara, the story ain't over yet. The story is not over yet. I read an article this week in Christianity Today, and this young girl wrote an article how she was a Christian, grew up in a Christian home, she went to college, she deconstructed her faith. Her deconstruction led to deconversion. She left her faith, broke her parents' hearts, and she wandered the world for a decade or more. And in this article, she wrote, after being away from God for 20 years of her life, one day Jesus just came back and blew up in her heart. She began weeping and knew, he's there, he's real, I must come back to him. And she says at the end of her article, she says, don't give up on your loved ones. You never know when or how God's going to get them back. If you have someone in your life who is a Mara, do not give up on them. You have no idea what God's doing to soften their heart and to bring them home. Two, if you're here and you are Mara, if you're here and you've suffered losses that were so devastating, you still have not healed. The hurt just will not scar over. You're bitter, you're cynical, you're untrusting. Let me tell you this. Maybe you're mad at God. God, how could you let this happen? To you who are Mara, let me say, God sees you, and God still loves you. Hold on. hold on. He's probably doing more than you possibly see right at this moment. For those of us who have lost hope and lost joy, we know ultimately our hope and joy are in the person of Jesus Christ. We know God loves us because God sent His Son for us. This is how we know we're loved. God sent His Son to bring us home. If He loves us that much, He's not giving up on His stinking investment. You know what I'm saying? If you're Mara, you are seen, known, and loved. You may not feel His presence, but He is near. He is near. With that said, let us pray together. Father in heaven, this life is hard. In the midst of this day, we celebrate the beauty. We celebrate new birth today. There are cute babies and loving families and support systems. Today's a good day. But there are hard days too, where the dreams die, where we lose the things we love the most. Lord, if anyone in this room who has suffered great tragedy or loss, let us as a people be compassionate and loving to them, patient with them as they mourn. And Lord, for those in this room who are in the midst of great loss, give them eyes to see Your hand is still moving. You've not abandoned us. Thank You for the story of Ruth, Lord. We look forward to seeing how You're going to redeem these two women. We know You are, we know You can, and we know You will. In Jesus' name.